Hey everyone, welcome to Marriage and Martinis. And today is a special episode because it's our first guest interview. Say hi, Ed.
Hey, hey, how you doing?
This feels weird for me because you usually do
I know. But it's very bizarre.
Yes, it is. So we have Brooke on from Flirty Girl today. Well, we interviewed her a couple days ago and she's awesome. And we wanted to bring her on because Adam and I have spoken a little bit in our romance episode that you hopefully listened to. And if you didn't, go listen to it. It was a good one, about our bedroom antics and stuff we're into. But we also would love to experiment with other things. And I think that there are a lot of women out there, and men also, who probably feel the same way.
Well,
you're married for a really long time.
I didn't. Now I do.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's good.
So that's huge.
Okay, and I kind of always have. And in college, I did a little bit.
I think the toy thing for guys is a very different situation than it is for girls.
Yeah, you think so?
Well, yeah, because we don't need toys. Like, and I feel
You don't think you need toys.
Okay, we don't even know about it because we were born with hands. So we figured that out.
We were born with hands too.
Yeah, but I don't think it can give you the same satisfaction that it can for us because
that's completely
at the
untrue.
Age of 12, we found out, hey, listen, wrap your hand around yourself and take care of yourself.
I was probably 12 too when I realized what I could do to myself. So,
really? I thought toys was more of a girl thing. No?
Maybe.
Am I wrong?
Listen, this is why Brooke is here.
Yeah, but
because
listen,
we obviously don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
I don't
about.
Know any. This is my first experience into the knowledge of toys.
Exactly.
So,
and for everybody who has been with us for the beginning, or if you're just joining us, and you know, we're so grateful to you, the people who've been here from the beginning, or the people who are just beginning and this is their first time listening, we started this podcast 3 months ago. We have been learning every step of the way, just like with marriage. We have been learning every step of the way.
Wait,
with this
so it's
podcast.
Gonna take 16 years to figure this podcast
God,
thing out?
I hope not, man. I was listening to Dax Shepard's podcast, Armchair Expert, today. I really like his podcast, and everything sounds so amazing. And
well, he has a studio. He
yeah,
has,
listen,
like, professionals.
When your wife was in Frozen, you could afford.
What?
His wife was Anna in Frozen.
Who's his wife?
Kristen Bell from The Good Place.
She was Anna?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Okay. Well, so he can afford very good equipment.
Yeah.
This is why we need people to buy mugs.
Right.
Like, we're like, please buy a mug so we can afford some equipment. And he has a whole freaking studio.
Of course.
So we're getting there, though, slowly but surely. But this was our first interview. And thank you to Brooke for being our, you know, popping our cherry, our guest cherry. How appropriate.
Right.
But we are, this was also, the audio is definitely off on this episode, and we apologize. I apologize to Brooke and I apologize to our listeners, but we're learning, and next time I promise it will be better. But I will tell you this, the content makes up for whatever is lost in the audio, I think.
Yeah.
I think the content of this opens up a conversation and everything in our marriage and hopefully in people's marriages at home that will just, you know, hope it's worth listening. I know the audio is off and we apologize so much, but I promise you, if you can get past the feedback, what is it that you call
No, it's
that?
Just shitty audio. It's just
it's
that
just
we don't know
audio.
What we're doing, and we recorded our first
yeah,
interview
okay.
and we don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
And so, now we're learning how. So
right.
So yeah.
Our next interview with Brooke is going to be amazing audio. Incredible. Yeah. I don't know. You tell me, right?
Of course. Are you
Absolutely.
Kidding? Well, we're going to have Dax Shepard money one day, so we'll be able to take care of that.
So, yeah. So just please stick with it because she taught us a lot. She opened up a conversation. Adam and I are planning a lot more fun things related to this topic for the next couple. Well, the next couple months, we'll do a bunch of episodes.
Sure.
Revolving around everything she's talking about.
No video.
God, no. The whole reason I do a podcast is right. I don't want to be on video.
Okay.
That I want to look like this when I do a podcast.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, no video. No one wants to see that. Even the image for myself is not good. So, anyway, please enjoy this episode. And, Brooke, thank you so much. Go visit her at flirtygirlguide.com. and on Instagram at Flirty Girl. I'm going to link from our Instagram account. You're going to put it on the website, mm-hmm. right? And she definitely knows what she's talking about, and we definitely did not. So it was a good, it was a really good episode.
Yeah, look, this girl kicks ass. I kind of liked her. Like, she was really cool.
Yeah.
So I definitely want to get back and do this next conversation with her. We'll do that. We'll bring it back here.
Yeah, with just, better audio.
Just the guys.
Oh, yeah, you're going to do a guy episode.
Yeah, just the guy thing.
Okay.
With Brooke. And, yeah, you're going to like her. So
yeah,
so,
you're going to like her. And we're honest as always, and we open up as always. And
yeah,
it's just a fun joining of forces.
Yeah, so we apologize about the audio, but try to... Yeah.
And that's Adam's fault, by the way.
Oh, fuck you up.
With sex toys, I hope.
I edited out...
No. Don't you
36
dare.
You knows.
I know. What is wrong with me?
And
with
there's
the
still 82 more.
Yeah, you're right.
That I have to edit
yeah,
out.
Anybody,
so don't blame me for
I
the
know,
episode.
I know. If you can count the you knows, listen, this topic was making me a little verklempt. It was
verklempt.
Making yes.
Wow.
Don't you listen to Barbra Streisand?
I do not.
The Prince of Tides was neither about princes nor tides.
You know, I was never a fan until
Papa,
Meet the Fockers.
Or me?
Meet the parents. No,
meet the
Fockers.
Yes,
yeah.
The second one.
And she was great. Like, I love that Papa. She just like let loose like that. And I was like, wow, she's cool. Like,
yeah, she's cool.
I never expected that out of her.
Yeah,
I thought
love
she
her.
Was so like reserved and so.
My babs.
Your mm-hmm. babs.
I saw her in concert with your mom.
I am. Wow. If I. Wow.
And I still have the tickets.
If I ever even came close to that concert.
Did you see Yentl?
No.
Did you see Funny Girl?
No.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, you'll make up for it with sex toys.
Yeah. All right, guys.
So listen and yeah. enjoy it. Please, please, please. We apologize about the audio, but we love you all for your patience and for just you're all so awesome. And I think I'm going to get a lot of fun episode. A lot of fun.
Danielle's been drinking too much water.
I'm drinking water. a lot of fun messages from this. I'm looking forward to them. So give us your feedback. Maybe not on the audio,
yeah.
but on the content.
Yeah, don't give us the.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, enjoy.
Yeah.
Bye.
So we're extremely excited that you're here, and I felt like, you know, for guests, if we're gonna have guests, I feel like it needs to be somebody who can really, you know, like bring something that, you know, we can't offer, and I feel like you can totally do that for us. So wow. it's perfect.
Yeah. And I like marriage, and I like martinis.
Yeah, there you go.
You
see?
Know.
And you kind of can't have like you need if you're gonna have marriage, you need martinis.
Yeah.
So. All right, so yeah, so we were saying that you, you're a founder of Flirty Girl. How long have you had Flirty Girl for now?
Flirty Girl has been around for 3 years. It started, like I just said, there was a sex toy that basically changed my life. Now, I have two young kids, married. I used to be like so cool and Carrie Bradshaw and work for like all the women's magazines and do marketing for them. And then I became this stay at home mom, which like gave me this massive identity crisis. And I am a severe postpartum depression survivor. And I say survivor because I was suicidal and, therapy and drugs.
Oh my God, we need to do you and I need to do another episode just about that because I think we could share stories probably.
Absolutely. Like,
okay.
You can Instagram post. I was like, girl, I feel you. Like,
yeah.
I feel you. So in my recovery, part of what I knew was going to make me feel better was looking a certain way. And I'm really honest about things. That's my deal. Like, I don't want other moms to think like you have to be skinny or beautiful, you know, outwardly beautiful or look a certain way to be okay. That for me was personally important. And I wound up doing a boudoir shoot for my husband. And
you want to explain what that is?
Yeah. What is that?
A boudoir shoot is when you get like completely glammed up, wear lingerie and are photographed professionally. It is not like a penthouse or Playboy shoot. It is usually done very artistically, beautifully, and sensually. And I had this like awakening when I was doing it that holy moly, I am sexy as hell. And I've never felt more beautiful than in this moment And it really had nothing to do with, like, how I looked. It was just how I felt. And I went home that night, and I had the best sex of my life with my husband.
That's awesome.
Well, I'm glad you said with your husband. I didn't know if that was going to be part of it after.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, with my husband, lucky dog. And so, and there were no toys attached to that. But I realized that feeling sexy was really essential to having really good sex. Like, it was a piece that had been missing from our sex life. So as I was exploring that, my husband went to the pleasure chest and bought a cock ring. Like, I can say cock on the show, right? Like, we're going to talk about
you clit can
and
say it all. There is nothing
no
you
can FCC say. Regulation.
Absolutely.
Okay. So he bought a cock ring and we had sex with it. I swear to God, it was like sex before the cock ring was analog television with, like, the wires coming out of the TV, and sex with the cock ring was like 4D Max. Okay, so there are various ones. The one that I love, and, you know, this one I'm talking about, it goes around your shaft and it vibrates. There's a head to it and it vibrates. And so what happens is every time you're moving together, her clit gets vibrated, okay? And also your shaft gets vibrated too, which you don't realize, Adam, but you love. Like, men love that. You don't know you love that.
Sure.
And so it's this really intimate experience. You know, sometimes sex toys are not cock required. A ring is cock required. And so it's this very intimate thing because you're experiencing it together and you can only experience it together. So it's a vibrator, but it's a vibrator that you use together kind of thing. So I had this amazing sex and I went to go talk to all my mom friends. And I was like, do you know about this thing? And they're like, no. And I'm like, you need it in your life.
Were you nervous to talk to them about it? Because, like, you're all suburban moms. And, you know, I mean, when you think about that kind of stuff without knowing if other people use it, I don't know. I feel like in my suburban neighborhood, I feel like I would be nervous, like, to bring it up, you know?
So here's the thing, and I think this is why I'm successful at what I do, which is, you know, blog, give speeches, advocate, and ultimately sell sex toys, which we'll get to in a minute, is because I am not embarrassed to do that.
Right. Right?
Like, some moms would be. I'm not. And people right. will call me brave for that or bold or whatever. That's just who I am, and it's what makes me successful in this business, because I am willing to talk about the things that we all think but don't say. And so,
like, our podcast. Why.
Yeah, I had no problem going up to women, like, at nursery school and being like, are you aware that this is in existence? And so I realized, yeah, I don't care.
Awesome.
I like a drop off talking about Cheerios, and I'm like, by the way, are you aware?
That's awesome.
And the thing is once you start having the conversation, people are really open to it. You know, women, moms are like, dying for this. They were just right. dying for somebody to start the conversation, right? And so I realized that we all wanted this. We all wanted better sex and to feel sexy again, but nobody knew how to do it. And this was a market. Look, sex is a, like, multi-billion-dollar business. We all know that. But there was no one talking to moms about how hard this is. Mm-hmm. And body image, and sorry, Adam, but, like, not wanting to have sex, like, and not wanting on a Wednesday night to go upstairs. We just didn't want to do it. And so I realized that I had an opportunity to talk to these women because I was them. I am them, you know? Mm-hmm. And ultimately, women want to be understood. It's how we're wired. Men are not like that. And so I was starting to create a connection with my peers because I understood their lives. And I understood it. And so from the beginning, 3 years ago, it just, like, boomed. I was right. Like, I went to my husband. I'm like, I have this crazy idea. He was like, do it. And I was right. Like, from the second I started, I was right. The specific challenges that motherhood brings to sex.
Right.
Because it does.
Or even just being married for a long time brings to sex. Course. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that, you know, you know, I feel like after a certain point with kids and with work and everything like that in your day, sometimes it's like you're doing it because you feel like it's required, because you feel like, you know, that you have, and then there are times when, you know, you do it and you're like, oh yeah, this is what's so good. This is why we do it. And then there are times when you're like, all right, when's it going to be over? Because, you know, I really just want to watch my Netflix shows and go to bed.
Totally. And the thing is And that's why I always say, like, sex should be something we want to do, not something we feel we have to do. Because mm-hmm. when women, and Adam, you should listen up to this.
But I want to.
Yeah.
I already want to.
I'm like, Adam needs to hear how women really feel, you know? Men don't realize this. Like, men don't get it. But life is hard. And when you start feeling like sex is obligatory, it breeds resentment. And you cannot have good sex if you feel like you were forced to be there, right? Like,
sure.
And that feeling, like you just said, of like, when is this over? Like, I don't, no. Moms, marriage, like, we deal with stuff all day that we do not want to do. Like, sex should be the last place we feel like that. Like, I'm done. I don't know who made that rule, but it's like, right. You know, sex should be the thing we want to do. And I truly believe that one of the ways that we can make that shift is to enjoy the heck out of it, right?
Well, I think one of the hard things about enjoying, and we talked about this in our body image episode, we talked about it in a couple episodes, because, you know, I'm a mom, you know, I don't look 20 anymore. I mean, I like the way I look when I get dressed up and everything like that. But, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, like, so concerned, and I think a lot of women are during sex of, you know, what's he looking at? Is he looking at, you know, is he worried about how's my stomach looking? My C-section scar is showing and, you know, like I'm flabby and, you know, and there's so much of that that I think that it's a lot our own personal hang-ups.
So I have a lot to say about that. So number one, we are our own worst enemies. Like you said, I like to say that we have a mean old bitch who lives in our head, and she comes out at the worst times, and she tells us that we're not good enough, and we're not thin enough, and we're not pretty enough every single time we look at ourselves in the mirror. I hate her. I want her to die. Like, I hate her. I want to stick her in, like, the attic and lock the door like Cinderella and never have her come out. So the problem is, that's the problem in our brains. Here is the amazing part. And Adam, I'm looking to you to verify this. Men do not see our body. So Adam, I want you to, like, give your input on this, because I'm interested, honestly. So men don't view our body flaws in the way that we do. So men are wired biologically to be turned on by visual stimulation. Okay. That's how men are wired. It's why men love porn and boobs and, like, all that stuff.
Okay.
All of that. You're biologically wired to be turned on that way. So when men see us naked or in lingerie or what have you, it is like the Snapchat filter of, like, the sparkles, like, fall down over their eyes, and all they see is boobs, vagina, and the concept that they're getting laid. Like, they're so excited. Like, men don't care if your boobs are saggy. They are so excited to play with them. Like,
totally. We've spoken about that before. Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they're toys. Right. They're fun for us. They're right. Like, you're worried about whatever you're worried about. I just worried about that I get to play with them.
Right, 100%. And so, you know, I also sell lingerie for real women who have C-section scars that they want to, you know, hide, boobs that they need to.
Right, I feel like I would look ridiculous.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't, because I would put you in a piece that is beautiful. But here's what happens every single time a woman comes out of the dressing room. She starts talking about, like, oh, my back fat is hanging out and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I would say that 80% of men don't even know what back fat is.
That's why I just laughed, because you said that, and I don't even know. Right.
Right. So, like, we're hung up on these things that men don't even see. And so, and frankly, like, if you're really upset about your back fat, just sit forward. Like, don't do reverse cowgirl. Like, just don't get on your knees. You know? Like, there are ways to hide this. So I really, like, feel that we as women need to understand that our husbands want to have sex no matter what our bodies look like.
Right. That's the hard part, is that we're so, you know, and all day we are. Like, one of the reasons why we started this podcast, and one of the reasons I think you're doing what you're doing, is because all day long we're bombarded with these images of perfection, or, you know, quote unquote perfection, social media. You know, you see people are posting, you know, their six packs after they have three kids and they went on vacation, and their bikini pictures. And, you know, like, at a certain point, you're like, all right, well, I don't look like that. So if I don't look like that, then who am I to be getting, like, naked and thinking that my husband wants to see me when I haven't, you know, quote unquote, fulfilled my role of, you know, having a six pack like these other women and everything. You know, it's really,
I do. Like, it's hard. I get it. And one of the things that I hope I do is get women to see themselves differently. Because one of the things I really believe is that we are all inherently sexy. And let's be very clear about this. Sexiness has absolutely nothing to do with how you look at all. The sexiest woman in the room is not the one showing her boobs or in the shortest skirt. It's not. The sexiest woman in the room is the one who is the most confident and knows exactly who she is.
Yeah, and sexiness, I think if we think about celebrities who we think are sexy, like, I think a lot of us will be, like, if the people who pop into your mind, I don't think it's always the skinniest or the, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I can look at, you know, like, I think, like, of an Ellen DeGeneres or a Oprah or a, you know what I mean? And I'm like, I think they're super sexy. That, are they the standard of sexy? No, but, you know, I think there's something about, it's the way that they are, the way they carry themselves, the way they act, how they... You know?
Absolutely. Sexiness is an energy. I mean, this is just fact. Sexiness is energy, and we are attracted to confidence. Mm-hmm. You know, there is no woman on this planet who sees a man and says, God, he's so insecure. He's so hot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right. So incredibly insecure. It's such a phenomenon. Like, it's never been uttered by a woman.
Right.
We are attracted to confidence, and so are men, and that is what sexiness ultimately is. So what women have to understand is own who you are. If who you are is no makeup and Birkenstocks and, like, you know, whatever, but you love, I don't know what it is, like, you know, charity work or whatever, and that lights you up, when you're lit up, you're sexy.
Right.
And that can look completely different from woman to woman, you know? But we have to understand that, because then it won't matter what we look like.
Yeah, and I think sometimes also, like, when, you know, when I'm naked or whatever, I'm also thinking to myself, like, when I'm with Adam, I have these scars and everything because, like, we made babies together. You know what I mean? And, like, people need to remember that, too. Like, you're, you know, in that situation, you're like, you know, you've shared something, like, the most, you know, amazing, beautiful thing together. And I feel like in some ways that should be, like, a super sexy thing that, like, yeah, I once had, you know, a flat stomach before we had babies and before we went on this journey together. And now I look this way, you know, which is a different kind of beautiful because we went on this journey together. You know, and he didn't have to, you know, have three kids. I did it. So a little bit is like, yeah.
And he still wants to have sex with you, right? Adam, you still want to have sex with her?
Yeah, more than, yeah. That it, more than she lets me.
Yeah. Right. Right. No, he does. And I know that. It's all my own hang up. I know. He's super, yeah.
Wait, I do have a question. I've been waiting patiently. I didn't want to interrupt the important conversations. Yeah. But ever since you were talking about those cock rings, I did have a question. Because I'm fascinated and I've heard of it. How does a guy orgasm in like 10 seconds?
How does he stop having an orgasm?
Like, no, like,
last longer?
Like, you're worried that,
like, if you put one on, like, I feel like 3 seconds later it's going to be done.
And we have children.
No, so here's the amazing part about cock rings. They actually constrict the blood flow to the shaft, so it has a Viagra effect. So you actually last longer.
Whoa.
Yeah.
How did I not know about this?
Right?
Yeah.
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 My head just exploded. Why did I not know about this?
Yeah, so you're going to be, like, as rock hard as you have ever been, and you're going to be like, I am man.
Wow. So if I brought one home, would you, like, be like, oh, I must not be satisfying you, so, like, this is why? Or would you be like, this is cool, like, this is a great idea?
Oh, I just went on Amazon and bought it myself, so we're good.
No, I don't.
Oh, I'm sorry. When I said Amazon, I meant Brooke. So, exactly. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Exactly. Listen, I think I might only trust you because who the hell knows what he'll get. So I would really appreciate it if you would direct him in the right place. If this is something he really wants, I think we need a professional.
Yeah, I think that's good. If I did this on my own.
He's going to come home with something with like spikes on it. Yeah, or something.
100%.
I was going to say the exact same thing.
This is the thing, right? So one of the things about Flirty Girl is there's the message, right? Which we were just talking about. And then there's the activation of that message. And I truly believe, as I said before, if women orgasm, we will feel sexier and want to have more sex. And frankly, the best way to do that is to use toys. Okay. There are 30% of women, 70% of women need clitoral stimulation in order to orgasm, right? 30% are unicorns that don't use it, but 70% do. And the last time I checked, your penis does not come with a clit vibrator. So we need some help, right?
Can we get into like
an add-on, like at birth or something?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, we're like manipulating DNA now and like creating people. Like we could just make that now, right? Can we just do that?
And maybe in a million years, like penises will come with vibration or like ticklers or something like that, which would be amazing. So,
right.
Darwin, universe, whoever's listening, like start making that mutation. But no, so what I do is, because exactly to your point, like, nobody knows what to buy, right?
Right,
like,
absolutely. Nobody knows. I would not even know where to start. And honestly, when I went on your website, I said to you, also, like, I would need your help because it all looks so high tech to me. I'm like, oh my God, it looks like some kind of, like, alien device.
Right.
You know what I mean? That I bring it home and I would be like, all right, well, let's, like, you know, it's going to be like a DIY, like, sex party, you know, because I have no clue.
And here's the thing, like, and there are a million products. Like, you walk into the pleasure test and Adam, you'd be like, well, this dildo looks great. But at the end of the
day, no, I wouldn't.
But she already has a penis. Like, she doesn't need another one. So what I do is I curate, like, a call down the, like, 30 best sex toys for women, right? These are the best ones on the market. They're the prettiest. They're the most effective. Let's talk about what you need, how you guys have sex, how we can make it better. And I will tell you what I think the best toy is going to be for you. There's this great story I had about a guy who called me as a client, and he was going to have a threesome, like his wife, and they were going to bring in a third. And this guy, bless his heart, was so excited. He was like creaming his pants, just talking about the experience that was to come. And he was like, I need to buy like 18 toys. Like, which toys am I going to buy? Like, I need all of them, unlimited budget. And he was like, what about this one? What about this one? And he was coming up with these toys. And I was like, do you even know how the female body works? Like, what in the world?
I feel like a lot of times they don't.
Right. Right. And I'm like, okay, we are not needing strap-ons here. Like, this is not what is necessary. And so that's emblematic across the board, you know? My husband just happened to get it right the first time, but a lot of times men come home with these sex toys that just don't meet our needs. And having said that, I don't sell anything phallic. Now, one of the toys I recommend is phallic. Because my position is you already have a penis. Like, I do not have to sell you one, right? So I need to sell you something that's additional.
I like, good. You have, definitely. And I think, I think orgasm, like the whole thing, you know, we use the term, we throw it around so much and everything, and we laugh about faking orgasms and, you know, that it's, you know, what women do all the time. And you discussed the orgasm gap on your blog. Can you explain a little bit of what that is?
Sure. So men, for the most part, orgasm every single time they have sex. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the finish line, right?
Yeah,
like,
that's how we know it's done.
That's how we know we're done. Like, we're done, right? Yeah. And they get to do it every single time, and we don't. Mm-hmm. And that's crap. Like, that's absolute crap. And I'm done with that. I think every woman should be done with that. And it's just patently, I mean, life's not fair, but that is patently unfair, and we have the power to change that, right? So We have to take a new stance that sex is not just about making him come. Sex is about making both of us come. Like, we should both be doing that. And here's the thing. Men love it when we come, right, Adam? Like, it's a total turn on. When
I absolutely love. Yeah, if it, like, it ever, like, when it does happen, especially together, like, that's incredible. Like, it's, that's when it's the best, you know, like, when you both know that you're both getting off at the same time, like, or even close to, whatever it is. Yeah, it's a complete turn on. It's, you know.
It brings you closer in a sense, too. Like, you leave the situation, like, feeling something stronger and different than you did coming into the situation. You know what I mean? Like, there's just, there's an inherent bond that happens too, that, you know, it's not just about the moment. It lasts so much longer. And then you're looking at each other for the next, you know, 3-4 days. Like, remember that happened? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And it lasts into other aspects of your, you know, you miss each other more during the day. Like, there's just a bond that happens that, you know, when you go without that for some time, you know, with sex or good, without good sex, like, I think you wind up missing out on so many other parts of your relationship because, I don't know, it's this one secret that you have with nobody else. You can get, you know, you laugh together, but you can get laughter from your friends and, you know, you have a good meal together, but you can have a good meal with, you know, other people or like things. It's the one thing you have and can give each other that, you know, hopefully nobody else is giving you.
Right. So, and I tell women all the time, don't have sex on Friday night with your husband or partner. See how Saturday morning goes. I guarantee you, y'all are going to be bickering at each other a little more. Like, why is the pancake batter on the floor? Like, you know, it's not, you're not going to be connected as much. Have sex on Saturday night, like good sex, like you guys, like we're all talking about. You let me know what Sunday morning looks like. I guarantee you it is smoother, more loving, laughing more.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And every single woman who tries that experiment, like, comes back to me and is like, that is a mind shift. Like, oh my God. Like, it's so clear. But see, we know that inherently. Like, that's, we know that. But we can't just be doing the sex to get the Sunday morning good vibes, right? Like, we have to come to sex in an equal partnership. It has to be that way.
Yeah.
And I know 70% of women need help doing that. They just do. And sometimes, you know what? Our little finger is not enough. Like, I'm a little bored with my little finger tickling my clit. Like, I'm not, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's why I think sex toys are such a big deal. And honestly, you know, one of the questions I get the most is, well, how do you introduce it to your partner? You know, if you've never used sex toys together, like, how do you get your husband to be open to that? Isn't he going to think, as you said, like, he's not good enough or you know, whatever? The male ego is going to be bruised. Because, Adam, I'm sorry, but y'all are fragile. So.
Oh, no, I understand. We've been there.
And so I have definitely tips about how you can bring that into your relationship. And one of the ways I think is best is to text about it and not have it be a face-to-face conversation where maybe, you know, he could be embarrassed a little bit and you can be a little nervous.
We'll listen to this podcast together.
Right.
You know,
he can be a little tough when you're face to face, but over text or through listening to something together, you can be kind of more honest. You can be sexier and a little raunchier, and he can take a minute and be like, am I offended by this? No. Oh my God, this is really hot. Right.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. We do a lot of texting back and forth during the day. Well, number one, just because we don't get to see each other all day, but we do a lot of texting back and forth.
Like flirting, not
pictures and stuff like that, but just back and forth of things that we usually wouldn't say face to face. So that makes total sense. And we kind of do that all the time. So we love
that. I say to women, I'm like, the easiest way to do it is to maybe even take a picture of the sex toy, send it to him and say, I just got this. I think it would be so hot if we could use this together. And instantly, like, he's going to get a picture in his head of you guys doing it with this thing. And he's going to be like, oh, yeah, uh-huh, how soon can I get home? Like, do we have a babysitter? Like, what's happening? Right. And I love that way of doing it. I'm glad, Adam, you just confirmed it. It's just easier to do that over the phone. And, or, I mean, by texting. And here's the thing. There is no better aphrodisiac than anticipation. Okay, like the thoughts that you're planting and the images that you're planting over text will stay with each of you for the day, and it will get you more and more and more turned on.
That's so, right. But I can understand the other side of it where somebody might feel like, well, am I not good enough? Like, what do you need that for? So how does a guy get over that? Like,
well, I think you start by saying to the guy, all women have to go into it knowing that that's a possibility, right? Like, we have to know that we might be bruising their ego a little bit. So we need to be sensitive to that. And what I tell women, and Adam, correct me if I'm wrong, tell me if there's something better that I can be telling women. I usually say, hey, I think what we're doing already is so freaking hot, but I thought we could even take it to the next level if we use this. Like, I'm already so turned on by you, and we're having, like, great sex, but I want to have this kind of crazy experience together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you think that would make you feel better?
I think so, but I think you also kind of have to let the guy know, like, this is for both of us, not just for, you know, the woman.
Why is it so bad? It's just like you guys already get. I mean, I think in some ways it would be even better if the guy was like, if this is 100% for, even if it's just 100% for you, I'm into it because I want you to have an orgasm.
That makes complete sense logically.
Okay.
But you're bruising the ego of a man. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So of course we feel that way. Mm-hmm. But there's something else inside that would just say, I'm not good enough.
Right. Okay.
So you have to understand that. That's just how guys feel.
Right.
Which is to your point, why I tell people to do it over text, because I want to give guys that minute to say, just like you said at the restaurant, you know, scenario, how do I feel about this? Is my ego bruised a little bit? Let me just have my moment privately, like where she doesn't have to see it, and then let me come back to it, you know? So, you know, this might
and be. And it might be fun to shop together for it. I mean, even if it's like look together. And
I have couples come to me all the time. Yeah. All the time. And
we should do that. We should take a ride to her place.
Yeah. Or we
could
do it virtually. Like, I think
that would be cool too. Yeah.
We could do it virtually all the time. And it's so interesting. The guy is always the one who's like open, forthright, and all that stuff. And the woman is usually like very demure. Even if she is a dominant one in the relationship, she's usually demure because I think women sense inherently that we need him to take the lead in these situations so he doesn't feel less than.
Right?
Like, we need him to own this relationship, this experience or relationship, you know, with the salesperson so that we don't feel like she thinks we're less than, right? Like, in the guy's head. So I get it. It's one of the questions I get the most often. I haven't had anyone come back to me and be like, well, that didn't work.
I was just gonna say, do you ever have somebody who, like, they try it and the next day they're like, you know what? It's not for us.
Okay, so I've never had a man, like a woman, come back and say, like, he wasn't into it. Wanted me to return it. Like, that's never happened. I do get messages from men being like, I love you. Please do more stuff. That was awesome. But, you know, you didn't ask this, but in a roundabout way you did. Look, I give the best advice I can, based on generalizations, my own experiences, and what I know to be, you know, physically and anatomically true. I'm not your body. Like, there's just so much I can think is going to do well, and sometimes it doesn't work out. But what happens is, obviously, sex toys are not returnable. Sorry.
No, you don't resell them?
We have a store, and we don't even let people return hats. So.
Right. Like, where has that thing been?
Right.
So, no, you can't return them. But almost every single woman that will come and be like, you know what, that didn't work, will ask for another option. Yeah. Like, let me try something else, because they can appreciate, even if it didn't get you off.
Or maybe sometimes you need more than one time to get used to something.
100%. And I actually tell women, try out the toy on yourself first. Right. Like, take a minute in the bathroom or when the kids are at school or whatever, so that you're not, like, in your hot moment fumbling, like, where's the button and which version do I like? And, you know, because that's a mood killer. So get intimate, literally intimate, with your toy first. Figure out which setting you like and all that, and then bring it into the, you know, the bedroom or where bathtub, wherever you're doing it.
Wait, so the guy can do that too, right? Just want to make sure. I want to get intimate with my toy too, like before. I still like this ring idea. I'm still like, that's all I've been thinking about.
Obviously, you guys need a ring. Obviously, that's going to be happening.
I think that's going to be the first one.
I mean, the box looked new when my husband gave it to me, but I'm almost positive he like opened it and tested that thing out and was like, let me not look like an idiot when I put this thing on. Like, let me not when I'm like, does it does it not fit? You know, kind of like.
Yeah, do they come in sizes? How does it work?
Okay, so here's the thing. God bless you, men. God bless you. You all are like, I don't think that's going to fit. Okay.
It's going to be way too big.
It's stretching. I did a demo that it fits on my upper forearm. Like, that's how big. And if you are as big as my open, like, my upper forearm thickness, like, you're not. Like, I'm sorry, but you're not. So it's
I meant this in the opposite direction. Do you have, like, is there, like, extra small, medium?
No. I never have that be a problem. I mean, if you have a micro penis, maybe. Yeah. But honestly, you would tell me, look, my husband has a micro penis, and I would not recommend the cock ring. Like, we would move on to something else. You know? But honestly, that's why the questions are so important. And I believe, like, that
somebody confided about it.
Yeah. And here's the thing about the marriage mom segment. We trust what our girlfriends say, right? Like, oh my God, this lipstick was amazing. You run out and you're like, maybe I should buy this lipstick or whatever. We trust each other because we understand each other. Well, it's the same thing with sex toys, right? Like, I create this trust in these women, as I said, because I'm living their life. They feel so much less intimidated buying from me than they do rolling up to the Love Boutique off I-95 in their, you know, minivan with their school stickers. Like, very few women are going to do that. And even when if you're brave enough to do it, you're going to walk into the store that has 85,000 options, some of which are really kinky and intimidating. And the majority of, you know, our demographic is not that way.
With like an 18-year-old teenager working the front desk.
Well, that's what I was just about to say. She's got 85,000 tattoos and piercings. Mm-hmm. She's probably super bisexual. And like, you know, she stays out till 4 o'clock in the morning. And God bless her, she could be extremely knowledgeable.
Right.
She doesn't get your life.
Totally.
Right? Oh. And I think that's what's really unique about Flirty Girl and what I do, and it's why I'm not a sex option for everybody. I'm not. You have plenty of other places to go. I'm a sexpert for a very specific segment of the population that up until now has not been serviced.
Yeah, and I think it's awesome, and I love that. And I think also that, you know, we're talking about, like, another thing about what you know, with the partner and using sex toys and stuff is, like, you know, you're married, or hopefully you get into a marriage, you know, for the rest of your lives. Well, and hopefully the rest of your lives is going to be a really long time.
Yeah.
Like, you have to mix it up a little bit. And, like, you know, we haven't used sex toys and stuff, but we've talked on the, you know, on the podcast about others, you know, other stuff.
Yeah, of course.
And everything. But a little bit also you can approach it as, like, listen, you know, you just need to mix it up. Like, if you're going to be with the same person for the rest of your life, I mean, you know, you gotta keep it fun and interesting. And I'm sorry, but there's only so much you can do with the human body. Like, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Your finger gets a little boring sometimes.
Right,
you know
what I'm
saying? And here's the thing. I do believe that marriage, hopefully if you're in a good one, gives women, wives, the opportunity to feel sexy. Right? Like, our partners can be helpful in that.
And there's I think something with having kids that a lot of moms also are like, all right, well, I have kids now. My life is my kids. And I, you know, and I think a little bit, I think part of what we try to do in our podcast is, you know, to say like, no, you still are your own human being and you still are your own person. People will sometimes say to me about the podcast, like, aren't you embarrassed if your kids know what you guys talk about or this or that and whatever? And I'm like, absolutely not. Like, I mean, the ins and outs at this age, yes, but but at the same time, I want them to know that, you know, I'm a multifaceted person and I have needs, and I don't want them to grow up to think that when they have kids, their needs are just going to disappear. And so in some ways, I think you don't want that for your kids when they grow up. You don't want them to give up who they are as a person once. You want them to always be independent, like people with a lot of different needs. And I think that when we sometimes put sex on the back burner because it seems selfish.
Well, here's the thing that nobody talks about is that when we have children, moms go through a massive identity crisis. Okay. Mm-hmm. It just happens. One of my best performing blog posts and Instagram posts was about the identity crisis that moms experience. And look, we get our name change. We are no longer like Brooke or Anne or Samantha. We are Hudson's mom.
Right.
Like, we are, you know, James's mom.
Right.
And we literally lose ourselves, a part of ourselves. We lose our name, for God's sake. And I think society, unfortunately, in a very puritanical way, has told women, you cannot be sexy if you're a mother. Like, mm-hmm. those two things cannot live together. And if they do, you know, you're trashy and slutty and a bad mom. And we're all terrified of being judged as bad moms, you know?
Yeah.
And so I call.
We need to rewrite that whole, to rewrite that.
Are you talking about from like another woman's perspective that?
Yes.
Because speaking here as a guy, like, I find moms kind of hot. Like, I get it. Like, I like it. So.
Like, MILF exists.
Yeah. Exactly. MILF is like, it's a real thing, you know? Yeah. Like, you know, if I ever find myself like taking a double take in another woman, sorry, honey, I just, you know, it happens.
I do it all the time.
typically it's at, you know, a mom. It's at somebody who, not that I'm looking like I might look because she's taking care of her kid.
Just keep going.
I can't even have one story in this.
You're trying to like say why you're doing it. I'm saying it's okay. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, I was over that before. I'm just telling my story. No, but my point being, moms are hot. Like, from a guy's point of view, being a mom.
Do you know why? Can you articulate for yourself why that is? Because I have a theory, but I'm curious what it is for you.
Well, funny enough, I have a couple friends who we've discussed this before too. Like, you know, pregnant women are a huge turn on. Like, seeing a pregnant woman, there's something sexy about it. So whether it's because she's capable of like, you know, psychologically, like she can have a child, she can reproduce, so are we attracted to that? Is it just, you know, from a million years ago that it's in us? But even physically, we find it hot. Like, there's even like pregnancy, like you porn, isn't there? Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a search tool on Pornhub.
It's a thing. So, from the guy's point of view, pregnancy and being a mom and like being confident, it's really sexy.
That was what I was hoping you were going to say, is the confidence piece.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally.
And hopefully for like, a guy who's like, you know, I mean, maybe not all guys, but the same way as we're older, our needs change. And like, we're not looking at like 18, 19. Yeah, they're eye candy, a 19-year-old, guy. But that's not really what I don't think. I think our turn-ons change and our needs change.
Yeah, this stage of our lives. A cute 18 or 19 year old girl who's, you know, real pretty, whatever.
Right.
Yeah, you look, it's eye candy, right. Like you said.
Exactly. Yeah. But your needs, I think your logical needs, you know, change, and your needs for, your ideas about what's sexy change. Like, I'm not going to look at, you know, at a guy like that and be like, oh, I wish I could like go on a date with him. You know, like, you know that that's their, your interests aren't going to jive.
No, totally. I mean, from our point of view too, because if I see, a hot 18-year-old girl, and let's say the next day you left me, whatever, and I was on the dating scene again, I'd kill myself if I was with an 18-year-old girl. Like, right, like right. immaturity and like just a different level of life that we're at.
Yeah.
It's like they're yeah. right to look at. And that's kind of it at this point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you said that about loving MILFs and loving them because they're confident, right? I mean, it's exactly what I said. That's what sexiness is. It's energy.
No, confidence is big. It's important.
It's really huge.
If I could give you just a little bit of advice just from knowing you just for this hour, you keep saying, you know, when I speak to women about what they need, you should probably speak to men too, because just real quick, I've never used a toy. I've never thought about it. I've always been kind of maybe intimidated by it. And after just talking to you for just an hour, I'm open. And like, I get it. So like, I think there's a lot of guys out there that are just like me and that can use this little like, but
hopefully they'll start with this, listening to this podcast, because I think a lot of times like that's where, how it's, you know,
but important from somebody other than their wives, because I think that's important. And I think you come across in a way which really makes it make sense and makes it less intimidating for a man. And realize that it's something that we can both benefit from. So I think you have a little opportunity there to like branch out a bit if you haven't already. I don't know. I mean,
no,
like
I said. You're not the first guy who said that. I totally agree. And actually, when we were talking about the setup of this, I was like, I really want Adam to be there. Like,
because I said, I have him or not. Sorry.
Right. I totally should not be there. Like, right. I have no
business
being here for this. But I'm glad I was I learn, you know,
Adam, so I'm going to need you to like get a whole group of guys together. And
that would be a great podcast idea.
Sure.
Yes.
I already have it.
Oh my God. You should do just with a bunch of guys. You guys should do a podcast with Brooke.
I already have guys that I know are into it and want to do it. So
I hope you're ready. I can make this happen. Launch, though,
nothing that anyone. Awesome. I've been very team.
I was just going to say, I've got these really close group of friends who were just, We're out there. We're raw. We're crazy. I don't know if we can handle Brooke.
I've heard that before. I have heard that. Somebody also told me, like, if I was single again, if we got forbid divorced or what have you, if I was single again, I would literally be alone for the rest of my life because most men, like, could not. They would be so into
you know too much.
Oh, no. Yeah. I get that. Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
Yeah. I would be, like, the girl they have sex with because they're just, like, so damn curious what I'm going to, like, whip out and whatever. But they had nobody would date me because it would be, like, way too much. But you know what? It's funny. No, so we're definitely doing that. Adam,
sure.
Yes.
I can make that happen easily.
Yeah, but so, yeah, I can be raunchy, but I'm raunchy in the truth, right? Like, I'm not raunchy for raunchy's sake. Like, I'm not salacious.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do get, people think I'm, like, kinky as hell. Like, and they think I have sex, like, every day, and they think I have, like, swings in my bedroom and, like, all this stuff. Like, the things with spikes. That is not true.
Right.
Even a little bit.
Like, how often should I be having sex?
Wait, I was making notes. So spikes, no?
Spikes are no.
That's crossed that off? Okay, I'm crossing off spikes.
Do people say, the average couple has sex, like, once a week, or, you know, that's what the stat says.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there are people, like, obviously you want quality, not quantity, you know, it's quality over quantity, but like what would your recommendation be? Like, if people are at home, like, well, I don't know, are we having sex enough? Are we not having sex enough? Like, what is the standard for that?
Well, look, every family is different. People travel, you know, blah, blah, blah. I think 2 times a week from the research.
8 times a week. Okay.
Together. Okay. I'm learning. I just want. I just want to know.
Really.
I mean, I have toys, by the way. That there is one toy that is just like a mind blow. It is a clit sucker, if I could say that. It like sucks onto your clit. It is. I would run into my burning house to save this toy or my cat. Like I. Cannot talk about this toy enough. And I will tell moms, like, on a snow day when you are home and it's 10:30 and you can't drink yet, because that would be, bad parenting at that point.
Uh-oh.
Wait, I recommend
what time?
10:30. Is that the
10:30 in the morning? Like, you're not. Oh. Maybe 4 o'clock you crack it open, or 3 o'clock you crack it open, but 10:30 you're like not doing that mostly. I'm like giving
it a shot.
Well, it's different. It's Sunday.
Sunday. This is Sunday.
I'm not talking about Sunday.
Okay. I got you.
You know, put them in front of an iPad. Take this toy. Go into the bathroom. You will have like 5 orgasms in less than 3 minutes, and you will walk out such a happier mom.
Okay.
Nice.
So we don't want to reveal what this toy is, right? Because we want people to come to you.
Y'all come to
me. How do they come? All right, so let's start with how people bless you.
Ooh, my God. Sorry about that.
Sneeze on the truth.
Yeah,
right?
Seriously.
Okay, so first of all, we have to talk again because I feel like I have 1,000 more questions for you.
Wait, is a sneeze really a mini orgasm? Because you always say
I always say it feels sort of like a tiny mini orgasm.
I think most women would say an orgasm is an explosion of some kind. So sure, I'm down with that. But if a sneeze is like the closest you get to an orgasm, you are not having the right kind of orgasm.
No, right. I think that's why he gets upset. Don't even say that to people. Don't even try to. I don't mean it like it. I mean like the same kind of like you're like the build up and then it happens and you're like, thank God.
Well, what if you sneeze during masturbation? Like, is that just a mind blow? Like will you die?
I don't.
Like,
it's
is
not
that
gonna happen? I think like your sinuses shut off.
So, all right, so tell people, first of all, how, and we're, like I said, I'm hoping that you will come on again, a bunch of times, but how do people get in touch with you? And if they want to like talk to you and they're thinking about maybe going in the direction of getting a toy or whatever.
So I am primarily Instagram based, right? So you can find me at flirty girl guide, like a guidebook, all one word. You'll see like a black and white picture of me where I actually look really nice for a change. So you can find me there, and you can certainly direct message me through Instagram, about toys, about maybe what you want. That happens all the time. So direct message me off Flirty Girl Guide on Instagram. And then my website and blog is flirtygirlguide.com. And if you are interested in reading my musings and my thoughts and things like that, that is a good place to do.
Yeah, I really enjoyed your blog. I read over some, and I'm a writer too, so I really enjoyed it.
But wait a minute, before we try to end this out, as a sexpert, I do have another question for you.
Of course.
Because coming from the guy perspective, and you have to answer this, I'm not going to let you get away without it. Does size matter?
Yeah.
Okay, and what is the size? So you're
okay,
a girl.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Here's what I'm going to say. And I think the research backs it up. Width is more important than length.
So I've heard.
Yeah.
No, I didn't mean that personally. I meant like.
Here's what I'm going to say about that. And there's a big but. There are tons of guys who have big penises and have no idea what to do with them.
Right.
Right? Like, I would rather have an average size penis and have the guy just like know exactly what to do and be open to sex toys and all that kind of stuff. That's going to be better sex. Like, if the penis is big, like, it feels good when we're just laying there. Like, just stick it in and let me just sit there and then I feel full and that's nice. But if you're
going to
jackhammer me with the thing, like, no.
Right.
Right.
All right.
And
good answer.
So many other things. Like, I feel like there's so many. You know, it's not just if you're just not just straight sex. It's what you know, like oral stuff and
No. You're taking it to the woman's level here. From a man. It was a simple question. Just answer the question simply. Does size matter? Yes or no? Here's the thing. You can't do that. You're a woman. You're talking to men now. They don't want to hear that thing.
Do women like a big cock? Yeah, we like a big cock. Like, I'm sorry. We do. But what I'm saying is, it's not the be all and end all. Like, it's just not. I mean, look, they're typically guys with big penises never had to try that hard.
It's not like boobs.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
Guys would be happy with big boobs, small boobs. They just love boobs.
Well, no, right. But that's what I'm saying. Typically, guys with big dicks have not had to work at pleasing women.
Right.
Guys with smaller dicks who know, like, shit, I can't be competitive in that sense, but I can, like, give her the biggest orgasm ever. I want that guy.
Yeah, I like that. That was really, I like that.
I know I like you.
I want that guy.
Yeah, I hear you. Yep.
Good answer.
You know, the best way I can describe it to a guy is, like, she could have the best boobs, real, fake, whatever, but if she sucks at riding you, like, what's the point? Mm-hmm. Like, it's nice, you're looking at it, but, like, wouldn't you rather have a woman who just knows how to move her body?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, or else I might as well just use my hand while I play with her boobs, and then...
Right. Exactly.
That's better. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, and also, like, you know, sometimes if you know you have big boobs or, like, you know, the best boobs or the best body or the best penis or whatever, like, you're just kind of an arrogant fuck. And, like, who?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's like a hot guy in high school. They often get stunted later in life because they never had to, like, develop conversation or personality. Yeah. Like, they just wrote on being, like, a jock. And so, you know. You get 4 years of a highlight reel, and that's about it. Same thing.
Sure. All right. That was great.
Yeah.
Yay!
Thank you so much. This was awesome. You were gentle.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. So,
have a great one, you guys.
Yeah. We had a lot of fun. Thank you
so much. Yeah, this was fun.
I will email you the cock ring, and let's try to get that thing out to you guys for next weekend.
Wait, you can email those things?
Yeah, I use a 3D printer.
Awesome.
Okay, thanks, Brooke, so much.